Blog Talk Radio.
Bink Network with your host, V.S. Grenier, Keisha Bertram, and myself, Irene Rose. It's truly an honor to be here with you today. It's Monday, August 22nd, 2012 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you'd like to call in and join our wonderful discussion tonight, the phone number to call is 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259.
Thanks, Irene. Sorry, I'm sure you. I'm sure you guys are freaking out. Just so our listeners know, this is
it was interesting.
I know. I walked in the door. And my kid's like, I'm hungry. I need a snack. And
so
I'm like, don't let me. And of course, my son was trying to get him to have me take him to the library. And I sit down. I'm talking. I'm like, oh my gosh, what time is it?
Oh, no, you poor thing. Oh, my goodness.
So I got on the show, I think, like 20 seconds before we went live.
Yeah, something like that. That's okay. We're all here.
Yeah, and I know. I saw Keisha, I saw you kept getting dropped, so I'm glad that you were able to get
in. Somebody was calling me right at the time I called into y'all, and I was going to, email her while I was on here and say, I'm on the phone, I'll call you back at 6, and somehow my cheek or something hit the answer button, so it answered her. And so I had to hang up from her and call it back. So, yeah, actually, I've got to take responsibility. I didn't get dropped. I messed up myself. So,
that's all right. We're all here, though, which is great.
We're all here, exactly. And I'm excited about today's show because, Keisha actually, mentioned this, during the summer. So, oh, my gosh, you guys. I have to share this really quick. So I'm sitting here. I'm in my living room. And I can see into, because we have, like, the open floor plan, we can see through, like, the kitchen and dining area. Mm-hmm. My 2-year-old has an ice cream cone.
Oh, no.
Up on the chair, taking it and taking the ice cream and painting on my window.
Oh, no. I think you have some cleaning to do, Virginia.
I do.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. This is such an evening.
It's not a full moon, is it?
it's chocolate ice cream, too. So I guess I'll walk over there and clean that up as I'm talking. But anyway, so our listeners know tonight on the Family Matters show, Keisha had mentioned, I think in the middle of summer, about parent report cards, because it was something that was starting to either, did it just get passed or was it starting to get passed out there in Tennessee?
Well, it was rumbled about quite a bit. It was there were several articles in the Tennessee, and it was really like closer to the. It was like the end of May, and there was all this hoopla about it. And I wrote some stuff about it. And when you mentioned we're going to do the show about it, I started thinking, well, I wonder what became of it. I know that we're not doing it in our school as far as like parent report cards. I don't know if anybody around my area and district that's actually doing it per se. There may be surveys, there may be some little things going on, but the whole issue fell out of the news, so I don't know if things were dropped, if it's been put on a back burner, or if something that was realistic was maybe passed, and I don't know what's happened to it, but I still think that may be a good reason to discuss it. I don't know if it's still on the burner. I know some other states have passed report card type things. The one that was on the table, it was more of a self-evaluation type thing, which kind of planted the seeds. You would judge yourself, and you wouldn't, like, turn it into the school or anything. I think if you try to really do a parent report card, you're going to breed a lot of hostility. But it was just a self-check sort of a thing. Do you go to PTA meetings? Do you make sure your child has their stuff? Do you do the homework with them so that they can kind of see in a subtle way what might be expected of them and kind of an eye-opening thing? But you got to be so careful that you don't offend by the report card thing, making it look like a true grade of your value as a parent.
Yeah, well, I was looking because I knew we were going to do the show, you know, at the end of this month. And unfortunately, I don't remember where I read it, but it did say that Tennessee has passed the parent report card. It was an article, I think it was Fox News off their website. It was one of those guys. So it wasn't like some small little, you know, I know it wasn't CNN. I think it was Fox. But anyways, they have a whole article about that. It did pass in Tennessee, and I don't remember all the details, but it was definitely more just like you're saying. It was more of a form that parents can use to kind of see and grade themselves just to see their involvement.
I don't know of anybody doing it.
I think it's like an it came across as more like an honor system kind of thing, so I don't think it's like, even though it's been passed, it's, you know, where you think report card, like school report cards, it's nothing like that. It's more, you know, I think voluntary.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
Well, it kind of gets involved in parents with their responsibility, and I don't really think that most parents intend to be irresponsible, if that's even the right word. I think a lot of times parents don't know what they're supposed to do. We just assume that they do, and I think parents are often intimidated by schools. They, you know, going and sitting in a conference or something with a bunch of teachers when your child maybe isn't doing so well is probably a pretty intimidating. Well, from personal experience, that was intimidating. It wasn't so much academic for myself, it was causing some trouble. So, yeah, it's awfully awkward when you have to go into the school and all eyes are on you as to why your child isn't behaving properly or isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's an intimidating.
Yeah.
Could it be used
like
a tool, though? I wonder if it can just be used as a tool instead of, instead of being, you know, something that's negative. Maybe it could be positive. I don't know. You know, if it's something that, you know, parents can just look up and just use as a benchmark for them to, you know, to govern themselves, if that's the right word.
Yeah,
or to,
I think
you
that's
know,
intent, and that's probably how it's going to be used. And in that respect, I think it's real good. I think it's a much
mm-hmm.
more subtle, a much better
yeah.
way than put them on the hot seat and tell them what they're doing right or wrong or whatever. I think it's a real good self-monitoring tool that's kind of anonymous online, and it's private.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, I think it could be good, you know. And positive.
Sorry, I'm typing in our chat room. as we have people logging in, I was asking.
Are there really? My goodness,
yeah,
isn't that great?
Yes, wonderful. I was like, you know, please comment, you know, on your thoughts with parent report cards, because we'd love to have them weigh in on this, you know, be it that they call in or
mm-hmm.
or post their thoughts here in the chat room. But I'm just kind of curious because, I mean, since we're all in different, you know, areas, and, you know, obviously we're all involved with the school districts in different capacities, so we, you know, we know basically how things go when it comes to, you know, children, you know, misbehaving in school to, you know, how parents are, you know, brought in to help deal with the situation. I know here we have restitution for our kids, which our students have to pay for. So basically it's detention, but you have to pay to go to detention, even though detention is a punishment, but that's why they call it restitution. And it depending
they have
on
to pay?
They have to pay. So if they did school,
like with cash, parents have to actually pay?
Parents actually have to pay. So if like kids ditch school and they don't have
a brilliant idea.
Yeah, and it's not an excused absence, or even if I better leave them and go into another room since they're gonna start up. even if like you have excused absences, if they have too many excused absences where they've missed tests, this, that, whatever, they still have to then go to restitution to take their tests and to make up their schoolwork. So even, you know, I mean, you get so many passes. I think it's like six to ten where you can, you know, have excused absences. But once you get past that max, even with that, because then they're thinking, oh, the parents are just excusing their kids from school so they don't get in trouble. They make your kids still go and then do their classwork there in front of a teacher, and you have to pay. And each school charges a little bit different, and I think for each thing you're sent for, you have to pay a different fee as well. And I was shocked because I know in California they don't do that. But when I got here to Utah and I found that out, I was like, holy cow, you have to get attention because you're mouthing off, but you have to pay? I'm like, that would definitely have deterred me from going.
I don't see how they can afford. I mean, how they can enforce anything like that. I know that if we were to try to make parents pay cash-wise, I mean, I think we'd be in a lawsuit right and left. I think there would be parents that could and parents that couldn't. And just like with fee waivers, we couldn't make them pay.
We have a lot of parents, you know, that are definitely, especially here in the St. George area, that are destitute in Utah, but they still, you have to pay. And
what happens if they don't? Do they process?
I've never asked the school, so I don't know. But I don't know if your guys' schools are like this or not. But when our kids get to high school, even though it's public school, gosh, I might have to change phones. Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my cordless is very staticky. when you get to the high school level, so in here high school is your sophomore, junior, senior year. Their freshman year is actually at the junior high. They have to, for the public school, pay for registration. So they actually have to register to go to public school, and they have to pay fees for their classes. For example, my son is in debate team this year, and he just thought he was signing up for just regular debate as a class, but it's actually part of debate team. But it was $80+ just for that class alone. His chemistry class, it was $15 for him to take chemistry. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if you guys had that with your schools, but, I mean, California, it's still free. You don't have any of this, but Utah is definitely set up this way.
You don't have to pay for anything here.
Yeah.
I mean,
here
too.
And
it's the same here. We don't pay for anything.
All wrapped up in the law if you tried to get parents to pay for stuff. Like, they'd be hollering, you know, non-constitutional, free education is my right as a
We
wouldn't be able to do anything about it if they didn't want to pay it, because it's just like field trips and stuff. We can't afford it. We can't pay. We're required to let them go anyway.
I mean, there's waivers. I mean, there's definitely waivers for, you know, and you have to prove. I mean, you have to, you know, do the whole, you know, pull my pants down, you know, here's you know, the skeletons in my closet, you know, whole thing with your finances to try and get waivers for, or even, like, pay only part of the registration fees when you get to the high school level. But I was shocked because, I mean, I was being born and raised in California, and, I mean, I've lived from Central to Southern California. I went to 3 high schools, never had to pay for anything in the public school system, got here to Utah and went, whoa. And, I mean, I know this is a primarily Republican state, but I was, as much as it was a total culture shock to me, and I kid you not, even this year, when I shelled out the money, I shelled out, and it was a few $100, everybody, just so you guys understand. This wasn't cheap for my son to go to public school. I was still whining and complaining the whole way to paying those fees, but in the back of my mind, I'm starting thinking, it also makes me as a parent, because the first thing out of my mouth, especially when I saw how much debate was, because, like I said, debate was $80+. The first thing in my mouth to my son was, you better maintain a B or you're dead meat because of how much this class,
exactly,
you know, this class slash team is. So it makes
me
actually
money, and it makes it valuable. It makes it a lot more valuable than it's free.
Exactly. So as a parent, I mean, not that I don't watch his grades anyways, I do, but now I'm on him even more because it's like, if we're putting this kind of money for you to take these classes, you know, because his art class even costs money. It was $30 for him to go to art to do, you know, in fees for his art class. You know, it really makes me on top of him, like, D, not acceptable. If I'm paying this, you better be taking this class seriously because this isn't, you know. And I think that's why they do it, because I know a lot of the kids here are really pretty good about maintaining at least a C point average here in our area. And I know for our state, our school district has the highest test scores, and my son's high school is the highest in our district in test scores. And I think it's because the parents are really on them because of these fees.
It makes perfect sense. I can't believe that nobody has, you know, raise legal questions about it. I think anytime you pack money into something, even the child understands that, you know, we're paying for it. If everything's free, regardless of how you do, I mean, that's a real incentive all the way around. Jeff,
yeah.
I'm just shocked. Irene, do they do that in Canada?
No, they don't. No, we don't pay for that either. No.
Yeah.
So that's you're the only
yeah,
one.
Well, that's what I was excited about the parent. Well, and that's what I'm saying. I even went to school in Iowa for a couple of years when I was a kid. No fees there either. So, like I said, I mean, I'm definitely one of those people that was like, not being born and raised here in Utah, like, what? It was a shocker, but it has made me, you know, not be lackluster as a parent. I've been more, I think, dedicated than I would have been. And I can see it because in California, we originally had our son in private school, and because we were paying for private school, I was on him too, because I'm like, if I'm putting you in this nice school, you know, even though I was a product of the California public school districts, you know, I wanted better for him. I was on him because of that, and that same mentality transferred here, putting him here in public school because I was still paying. And I think if it was free, I don't know. I think I would be like, okay, whatever, you know, sure, great, you know, I guess you'll learn in life. Where now it's like, my money's involved now too. Like, no,
exactly,
yeah.
Wow, and that's not a
small
thing.
Wow, that may be the most
either.
Enlightening
wow.
thing we hear all night.
Yeah, everybody's going, we're not moving to Utah. We have to pay for school, even if it's public.
Yeah, wow.
I'm not even going to move to Utah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, it's definitely, I think, I know with the way, at least watching my siblings, because when I was already out of school and we moved here, but my sisters and my brother wasn't. And it's been interesting watching, because I know how I was in school. My parents were not on top of me. And it was interesting seeing when they moved here with, you know, my younger sister and brother, seeing that how my parents, even my parents' dynamic changed. I mean, they really took, I think, school a lot more seriously as well. Because I ditched a lot when I was in high school. And they were just kind of like, I guess you'll learn, you know, or when you don't get grades and, you know, flunk out and are repeating, you know, high school, you'll learn, kind of, you know, was their attitude. And so, and they weren't like that with them, because they knew they were going to have to pay that restitution money. And they're like, or they told them, you better go get a job then, because you're paying for it. It was a very different dynamic to see, even, you know, in this older generation of parents as well, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
well, I need a great life lesson, you know.
It is.
I got restitution. I mean, that's what happens in life. You speed, you get a ticket. That's how it goes.
Right, and I think that's basically, I think, maybe why Utah gets away with it, because exactly that. Parents view it like, well, you know, in real life, exactly. You speed, you get caught by the cops, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You're paying a speeding ticket, or you're in traffic
mm-hmm.
school, which you have to pay for,
yeah.
too. You know.
And if you're late with your bills, like you might be late with an assignment, and you get an extra fee tacked on that.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, so it's interesting to see that same, and I think that's why, you know, a lot of parents don't, you know, freak out. I think people from out of state like I do probably kind of go, what? But I think that's why the majority of the people here in the state are just like, that's what real life's like. And
yeah.
our kids are learning it early. You know, consequences and pain for them.
Yeah, well,
mm-hmm.
it's probably very good, actually, you know.
Yeah.
Because they learn the value of, you know, doing things right and, you know, keeping up with what you're supposed to be doing and not getting yourself into trouble, you know. So I think
they learn accountability.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So that's why it'll be kind of interesting to see what ends up happening with this whole parent report card thing, because I really, like I said, you know, as much as it's still a shock to me paying stuff for my kids in public school, the flip side is I look at that going, you know, it's just another layer to maybe make parents, you know, basically hold our feet to the fire. I mean, and I can honestly attest this because I have an uncle who's 2 years older than me. So we grew up more like brother and sister versus uncle and niece, because we went to the same elementary and junior high schools together. And he was notorious. My uncle was, oh, my gosh, to, like, just flat out be a butt and not go to school. And, I mean, I get it. My grandma was 40 when she had him. So by the time, you know, he was in junior high and high school, I mean, she was late 50s, early 60s, you know, had really bad failing health.
Oh,
just, you know, couldn't chase him down. My grandfather had already had a couple of open heart surgeries because he had heart disease and stuff. So, I mean, it wasn't like they could just, you know, wrestle him to the ground, drag him kicking and screaming, and then handcuff him to a desk. I mean, it's impossible.
So, I mean, I think by the time he was a sophomore in high school, I think he just flat out stopped going. I mean, even the truant officers couldn't get him to go to school. I mean, it was that bad. I mean, they were even talking about, like, well, we're going to have to fine you because your son's not showing up at school. It was really bad. I remember just feeling so sorry for my grandparents watching this happen. And my mom was like, I'm going to beat my brother, because she's there thinking, like, my daughter's only 2 years younger than you. If you're my son, and, you know, it's her brother, of course. It's not that my grandparents weren't doing anything wrong. It's just I think that at the beginning, if something like, you know, parent report cards were kind of in place, and obviously, like I said, I was public school system in California, and California was charging for this stuff, I think it may have helped improve my uncle's attitude a little bit to consequences, because, I mean, he really was just like, well, what are they going to do to me, you know? Uh-huh. And that's what his attitude was. What can they do to me? And he really didn't see that there was any, you know, anything that, you know, would happen. Of course, he learned later after he needed to get his GED that, you know, he paid a high price later in life. But early in life, it just, there wasn't enough of an incentive or consequence to his actions. It was like, okay, so a truant officer shows up, drives me to school. The second he pulls away, I just walk off campus again. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there was nothing more to his, you know, to his choice. You know, that, you know, an instant, you know, consequence to his choice. It was one that had to come many years later that made him realize, you know, now he's a very different person. He's a very, actually, wonderful person now. But, you know, I mean, it took him until he was, like, in his 20s to figure that out.
Yeah.
So I just kind of think that, you know, even though my grandparents are, you know, that exception where they actually were trying to be, I know there's a lot of parents that are just, you know, oh, well, there's nothing more I can do, and they just kind of throw their hands up in the air. And so it makes me think this might be a way to kind of make them, you know, you can't make people, I guess, be good parents, but maybe help entice them to be better parents, I guess, to their kids.
And, you know, you can feel something.
Yeah.
But that truant thing, we do have fees for that, but it's not assigned to the school district. If they end up going to court over truancy, their parents are supposed to be fined, like, an amount per day that they're out after mm-hmm. they've been out so much, unexcused absences. But I have yet to ever see that enforced. And
right.
We have students that have, upwards by the fifth grade, they've missed the equivalent of an entire year of school.
Wow.
And there aren't real good reasons. Some of them are home babysitting. Some of them just don't want to come, and their parents don't have whatever it takes to make them come. I've had parents call me from the Bloomin' parking lot and say, come get my child. They won't get out of school. Now, I'd be ashamed if I had to call the school and tell them I couldn't get my fifth grader out of the car. I think that my child would be waiting on the curb and I'd be leaving. They don't always act that way. But the fees are charged through the court, but they never really are. I mean, that's the threat, but it never happens.
Yeah.
Rarely happens. Now, they'll go to court and they'll get a caseworker, and the caseworker may go into the home and encourage these things and fix what may be broken if there is something to fix. But I've yet to see the fines really happen. I think when you hit people in their wallet, that's probably the best place to get results. You know, when people start really having to pay, they don't throw up their hands. They say, I've got to pay for this. You will be at school.
Yeah.
Or you'll get a job and you will pay.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think that's very true because when I, you know, remarried and married my husband, who I'm married to now, Dominic was 6 years old, our son. And he was starting to, you know, of course rebel because, oh, you know, mom's getting married and, you know, it's that whole – they have a hard time with it. You know, not that you honestly stop loving them, but in their, you know, their little young crazy minds, they start thinking crazy stuff like that. So I remember one time I had to go in early for work. So he thought he was going to show his new dad just, you know, how man he was back and decided he wasn't going to get dressed for school and didn't do any of his homework the night before. I think I was out of town is why his homework wasn't even done. So my husband took him to school in his PJs and literally stapled his homework to his shirt, to his pajama top, and dragged him into the school. He never did that again.
Oh, my God. That's a real lesson.
That,
oh,
you know,
I love it.
Yeah, he told him, you know, he's like, your mom's paying for you to go to a good school. You should have more respect for her than this, you know, because she's putting up this money to try and give you a better education than you would normally, you know, the most people think you'd get in a public school type, you know, I mean, obviously he's six, so he doesn't get all this. But, you know, he's trying to explain to him the best he can, you know, kind of situation. So our son would understand. And I'm sure there's parents right now listening to me going, oh, my gosh, how awful. How could they do that to their son? You know what? My son is not traumatized. He probably doesn't even remember it ever happening because we bring stuff up. He's like, I don't remember that. He doesn't.
That's not something,
you know,
eh?
Because, well, yeah, because we always, you know, after we do it, I mean, we turn around and we put the love with it. So, I mean, it's not like we just, you know, do something traumatic and like, oh, well, and walk away. I mean, you know, we let him know we love him afterwards. And he is one of the most decent young men I know, you know, and I'm really proud of him. And I'm really happy to say that in 2 years when he graduates, I'm not going to be looking at him going, oh, my gosh, I raised a disaster of a kid. I'm looking at him going, oh, my gosh, he has a whole future ahead of him instead.
That's great.
You know, and I think, and I kind of wonder if that's kind of what's happening with parents, you know, right now. They're so out to, you know, be their, because you watch these sitcoms on shows where they show, you know, where they have the parents, you know, trying to be their kid's best friend, you know, and be the cool parent. And so I don't think that they're understanding. I'm definitely that with my son. I mean, I wouldn't say like, you know, he's my best friend because, I mean, he's my son. But, I mean, we definitely can be friends. I mean, I pick him and his friends up from school. I play their music in the car. You know, when they're talking, you know, I get right in the conversation with them. And, I mean, they call me, and it doesn't bother me. I know a lot of parents, my husband's like, they will not call me by my first name. I am, you know, Mr. Grenier to them, and that's, or sir, which is totally fine. But, I, you know, they can totally call me by my first name, Virginia, and it doesn't bother me whatsoever. However, I do expect them to be respectful because I am their elder, and I do expect my son to be respectful because I am his mother, even though I still have a little bit of that casual attitude with him. He also knows if he doesn't do his chores or doesn't get his debate this year, that his, you know, the hells of fury of mother shall come down upon him at the same at the same time. And I wonder if that's kind of partly why we're seeing kids, you know, not coming to school like they need to or doing their homework like they need to, because parents are trying to be that cool parent so everybody likes them, versus, you know, realizing you can discipline and still be a cool parent at the same time. You just have to find that balance in between. Did we lose Keisha?
No, I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm quiet. Too much. I was going to give it a break and let somebody jump in there.
No, I think you can do both. I really do. I think that the best parenting probably, you know, occurs when you know, you can discipline and still, you know, be friendly with your children. You want your children and your teens to be able to talk to you. And I think a lot of parents put up this wall with their kids. And so when they put up this wall, you know, the kids just don't talk to them. And that's how they get into trouble. They, you know, the peer pressure comes in and all the, you know, all their peers start being their so-called role models almost, and they really, you know, fall through the cracks. So I think when parents can balance the discipline and also being, you know, there for them, and they know that they can actually come to their parents, I know that that relationship can really work a lot better. I see it here all the time in Ontario, and there's parents that really get involved with their children. You know, the kids are much better. They are more successful. They do their work. They don't, you know, they don't complain. They're not lazy. They're empowered, in other words. And when parents don't take an active role in their life, or when the kid can't come to the parents, you know, to talk about things, then they really do suffer as a result. So I see this all the time here. So I think the balance is great there, Virginia.
Yeah, and that's the thing, the balance. And I think a lot of parents, they want to be their child's friend. And you can be friendly to some extent, but you've got to realize that you're the parent. And you've got to make tough choices. And when you know, they're pulling something that you know down the line is going to be a real problem, like not going to school, you got to do what you got to do. And if you have to haul them in there in their pajamas or whatever you need to do, you probably won't have to do it but once or twice, and that's the end of it. Otherwise, it's going to be a long, ongoing battle. And that's the thing I find with a lot of these young children that I work with that are running their households. And the parents are so worried that they're going to upset their children by being good disciplinarians. And, you know, you can't be worried about that. And when you think about it, really, it's a kind of a selfish stance to take, because the parents are worried about how they're going to feel, not necessarily the best interest of the child. You know, yeah, it might make you feel good to say yes to everything your child wants. Oh, they're happy, happy as a lark because you didn't make them go to school. But that made you feel better. But that didn't really do anything for them. Sometimes when you discipline your children, it does feel bad. Sometimes you hate it that you have to ground them from something they really wanted to do. Sometimes you hate it when you really have to come down hard, but that's your job. You have to do that. And I don't think there's a child out there, once they're grown, or even just time after whatever incident there was, that continues to hold grudges against their parents because they did an appropriate disciplinary thing. You know, you can't function thinking, oh, I can't discipline my child because I might make them mad. And I really think I have a lot of parents that are like that. They'll do whatever it takes to make their children happy. And we want happy children. But we're adults, and we know what's right and wrong, and we know what they need, and they don't always know what they need. And you got to override them sometimes. That doesn't mean you can't be their friend and a friend or friendly and be there to talk to. I think they respect that, and I think that they will be respected as a result down the road. You can't be buddies and worry about pleasing them all the time.
Oh, I agree. You know, and as you're saying that, Keisha, you know, it really makes me think about, I remember, and I don't even remember who told me this. I know it's a saying everybody's probably heard sometime in their life, but, you know, the best choices for you or the right choice is always the hardest choice to make. I'm sure you guys have heard it. I know. I'm sure my parents have told me a bazillion times. I'm sure I've heard it from teachers. I know I've heard it many times in my life. And it's so true because, you know, you think about it, any time you make a choice and it ends up becoming a positive experience, I would say a good probably 60% of the time it was the hardest choice to make as well in your life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and because things that come easy – which is exactly what you're saying, you know, making your kids happy and stuff, that's an easy choice for a parent. You have instant gratification. It's, you know, everybody's happy, happy, happy. But the long-term benefit down the road is, you know, you have an illiterate child because they're not going to school. Now you're supporting them, or they're on welfare, you know, and living in a trailer and getting food stamps. And I understand.
They may come back and blame you for that. They
yeah, and they come back and blame you for that. And, like, you're a terrible
–
yeah, you're a terrible parent. Why did you make me go to school? And – you know, and I understand there's some people who are in that situation now just because of circumstances, and sometimes it's not decisions people make, and you end up in that circumstance, and, you know, and that's legit. But a good majority of the time, it's because of choices like this earlier in life that somebody didn't lay down the hammer and say, hey. I mean, I know I have more respect for the teachers that still could be fun in our class, joke with me as a student. When I was a student, we had this math teacher, and every time I came in, because my boyfriend was in the class before him, and he put us in the exact same chair. He thought that was the funniest thing. And he would always make a joke about it and always make some type of comment. And, you know, really, you know, loved the teacher because he would relate to us. But he probably gave us more homework than any of my other classes. So, I mean, he still laid down the letter of the law and still made sure that, you know, we were learning in class as much as he, when anybody got an answer right, he'd throw us a Skittle or, I guess it wasn't Skittle, it's like a Starburst candy or whatever, or some piece of chocolate out to the class for getting the answer right. I mean, he, you know, it was, everybody loved him. His name was Mr. Jenkins. I still remember that teacher's name years later. It was Mr. Jenkins, my math teacher.
That's cute.
You know, and he was, everybody used to say, oh, he's such a tough math teacher. He gives you, oh, my gosh, you got him. He gives you so much homework. Like, but he's really funny. I mean, it was like everybody would always say that in class, you know, in school. It was just like, you know, everybody loved him and hated him at the same time. And it was great because he had the respect of the class, students for that. So I think that's what parents need to realize is, you know, exactly that. And I look at the parent report card, I think it really gives you, and I think that's why parents don't like it, is I think it's more the fear of it's going to give them a really good, hardcore look of, you know, are you really benefiting your child like you should be as a parent? And, you know, nobody wants to see, you know, the real reflection coming back through the mirror of their choices. And I think that's what this does, but... you know, the benefit of it overall is just amazing. And, you know, I don't know. I just think it could probably be a good thing if it's done and handled right. I definitely don't want government putting more of their hands in our personal lives. I do agree with that to a huge extent. But I just also think that, you know, parents do need to look in the mirror and really take a hardcore look, not just at what's happening, you know, right here, right now, you know, this day, this week, this month, but, you know, long-term, you know, of how they're influencing their children and their future.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of books coming out on the same topic. I know I was reading one for Blog Critics just recently called Soul to Soul Parenting by, I think it's Annie Bernstein is her name. She also believes that, you know, parents have to be right there, you know, helping their kids become the adults, the successful adults that they can be. And unless parents do that, I don't think, you know, the child doesn't usually grow into, you know, a successful human being. I mean, they can, but it's much better when parents are right there front and center, you know, trying to help them out. So I think it's a win-win when parents get involved with their kids and when they, you know, really help them be the best that they can be, you know.
Yeah. I have a saying that's up on my Pinterest and Facebook wall, somewhere up on my wall now, because there's a bunch of stuff up there. But I know I have it up on our Family Matters fan page on Facebook wall, and it says, our children are our future, and if you know what type of child you want your kid to be, you need to be the adult that you want them to be in the future. And I love that, because it's so true. That's because, yeah, I mean, kids can look at the, you know, sports people, or they can look at musicians, or, you know, some actor, or, you know, an Olympian, I don't care, you know, a teacher as a role model. But, I mean, we're honestly the ones that are with them if they live in our houses. I mean, this is, you know, if you're an adult and you have kids in your houses, I mean, we're the ones that they see every day, and everything they every action, everything we say, you know, do, whatever, they soak it up. You know, they really are little sponges. I kid you not. Here's a prime example of this. When something bad happens, okay, and I don't get mad at – I'm never mad at the person. I'm always mad at the situation. But when something bad happens in a situation, you know, be it something gets spilt in the house or someone does something that I'm not happy with, the first thing in my mouth is always, gosh dang it. Kid you not. It's always what comes out of my mouth. The other day, my two-year-old was in her room, and she was carrying a puzzle or a game or something, and it slipped out of her hand, dropped, spilled all over the floor, and she looks at me, stomps her foot, goes, gosh dang it. And I went, oh my gosh.
Oh,
I'm raising a mini version of me that way, and that's not good.
Oh.
I mean, I'm laughing because, I mean, it was very cute, but it looking back now, I mean, it's kind of funny and it's cute, but at the time I went, oh, wow, that's a part of my personality I really don't want her to have, because I know I need to work on it. I was like, oh, wow, that's a bad personality trait you're picking up from mommy. Oops. But I recognize that. And I think sometimes as parents, you know, I can definitely tell you I have, because I have four of them. I have one of the four, and I won't say who, because I'm not in the mood to, later if they're listening to the show or here, to get into it with them. But I'm sure they'll figure it out anyways. But I have one parent that has a lot of very negative traits, and I don't think realizes it. And then one day, something happened with my son, and the way I reacted was very much how this person would have reacted, this parent would have reacted. Actually, I know this is exactly how this parent would have reacted, because a similar situation happened when I was a kid, and it was like deja vu. It was just now it was me and my son instead. And the parent walked over to my husband and went, oh, my gosh, and was completely, like, horrified.
Okay.
But it took until I was, like, older and had a kid for them to even realize the impact they had in my life growing up, that I had literally mimicked how they were in situations sometimes. And it flipped, I mean, just completely, they flipped out. Like, oh my gosh. And they're like, you need to be a better parent than that. You know, I was totally wrong being like that. And, you know, of course, that's when I started, and I was grateful to them, even though they weren't aware when I was growing up. It made me now more aware as a parent that when I do stuff and I realize that my kids start to show signs of that, to go, wow, oops, need to change that now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're watching. They're for sure watching. And you set the example. And there are parents that, you know, don't, for example, go to work and such, or call in sick pretty regularly and teach children that that's okay, that if you're not feeling 100%, you can stay home. And there are kids in school like that stay home on a pretty regular basis for things that aren't that important. You know, our rule is if you're not running a fever, you can come to school. But a lot of times they don't, and you never know exactly what might be going on. But sometimes you find that the parent has set an example like that as well. And then we have all that babysit stuff. But there is a lot of research that equates high test scores and graduation rates with the parent involvement. And it's not just, I mean, it's a lot of the little things, just showing up, being a volunteer, showing up at the PTA meetings, reading the handouts and the things that are sent home. This year at our school, we did a survey throughout the whole district. Tennessee was involved in this big new evaluation process. And we put out a survey on the online for parents to fill out, and it was separate for each school. There are only 9 schools in our district, and they only go to 8th grade, then they go to the county. But it was questions about school climate, you know, how do you feel coming to your school, teachers. And then I'm a guidance counselor. The last section was guidance counselors. Of course, the survey was probably too long, and a lot of the people that were filling it out had kind of dropped off at that point. So when in a school of 600, there were only about 40 that responded to the guidance part, but there were things like they didn't know my name. I took great personal offense to this, even though it was such a small number, but they were like, it was like one of the questions was, do you know your guidance counselor's name? And there were some that didn't. And then there were comments like, I didn't know there was a guidance program. I didn't know there was a counselor. And I'm just, I sent home stuff. I was in the Bulldog Bulletin, which is our newsletter. You know, I was in your child's classroom. You know, nobody said a word you didn't know. And then one of the parents had written, there's a place for comments. Now, you know, bullying is everywhere, and I have to teach lessons on it to the point where I'm just sick of it. I had a comment that said, someone ought to be teaching the children about bullying. And another comment, it's like, where were you when all these handouts were coming on? And I guess an example of what more can we do? Another parent in the 5th grade, I have to teach a puberty lesson. Okay, I teach all the girls, and the coach teaches all the guys. And, before the puberty lesson, they're just buzzing around the halls all, you know, just freaked out. Oh, get scared to death. You know, what are we going to talk about? You know, it's like it's a sex lesson or something. And it's so not. It's just, you know, about growing up. And there's this comment from one parent says, somebody ought to have the talk with these children in 5th grade. I've already talked to my daughter, but somebody there should teach them about puberty. And I'm just like, where have you been? We have sent homepage. We have communicated. We have a website. I've talked with your child personally, and you don't know who I am or that I exist or anything about my program or that I really did teach these things that I almost feel accused of not teaching. And again, it was a small number when you look at the big picture, but it still shows you that those parents had to be pretty consistently out of the loop because there were too many things that went home and that were sent home that if you missed one or two, you'd still have gotten something. I even do these divorces, and I send home the information. We're going to do this group with divorce or coping with parents that are dating or remarried or whatever their issues might be. I put the announcements out for the kids to know about. I send home stuff in the newspaper. And then by the time the 8 weeks is done and the group is up, I'll have a parent call me and say, I'm just wondering if y'all do any kind of groups up there for kids whose parents are getting divorced. And I'm just like, really? You know, where are y'all? And I don't know what else you can do.
Well,
how we have not done our jobs.
Yeah, well, trust me, we have that here in Utah too, where there's just the oblivious parent too. But and that's the thing. I mean, you think about. I get what you're saying that it's a small percentage, you know, in your district. But if you take, let's just say it's 15% in every single district, okay? And you look at how many school districts are, and we're just going to use the U.S. We won't even throw in Canada where Irene's at. Okay, we're just going to look at the U.S. If you take that 15% and then add up every single, you know, how many people that is in every single district across the United States, that's a huge chunk of population in the United States that's going to be adults one day, that's our future, that are going to be oblivious and clueless because of this. And you're just like, oh, isn't that fabulous? I guess I'm on my... I don't care what people, you know, give me today night because I'm being very blunt and I know that. But it's true. And I hear you, Keisha, because I have two kids in school. And I am the minority when I say I have two kids in school because the majority of Utah, I kid you not, and if you guys don't know this, you should. I mean, it's not the – if people think it has the majority of Mormons in it, it actually doesn't. Actually, Nevada does, if you guys really want to know the truth. Nevada has more Mormons than Utah does now. But – still, there's even if they're not Mormon, we still have big families, even of non-Mormon people, because that's just the norm in Utah. So the average family is at least 6 to 8 people in Utah. So think of how many kids that is in school. And I get it. I get that, you know, sitting down, it was a pain in the butt just with my two kids. I couldn't imagine having 4, 5, 6 to 8 packets worth of stuff to read through. It gets very monotonous, and I get it. But I made each kid sit down in front of me, and I still went through it and made sure they knew it was in each packet with me. Because, you know, it's important, and they need to know that I know, especially my son. I mean, in Utah, they actually have 8 classes in high school because they have A and B days. They have 4 classes each day. So wow. I had 8 packets just with him alone that I had to go through for each of his classes. And he, by the time we got to, I think, packet 5, he was like, can I just go in the office now and you just sign it? I'm like, no, You need to know that I know exactly what's happening in this class. So when you come up to me by second quarter and say, well, I had no clue because that's exactly what's going to come out of your mouth, I can look at you and say, yes, you did. We read the packet together. So don't tell me you did not know.
Yeah. And that's another example of that parent, you know, having to go that extra mile. No, you don't want to read all the paper. Who does?
I do.
But, you know, you either do or you don't, and it makes a very big statement to your child when you do or you don't. Because if you don't go through the stuff that's sent home, that tells your child that it's unimportant. And that's just another slap in the face of public education that what comes home from school is really not that important to me. And it says it without words.
Yeah. And you know, and I want our listeners to understand, I mean, yeah, I know you guys are going, okay, so you had to maybe read at max, you know, between the 8 packets from your one son and then your daughter, who probably had maybe one or two because she's in elementary school. Well, that's not that much. You know, why are you whining? The thing is I spend my day editing and reviewing manuscripts all day long. So that's all I do. I'm constantly reading text. So getting papers from school is not my idea of fun in my spare time. It's like, oh, great, more stuff to read.
Well, nobody ever said kids were going to be fun all the time either.
Yeah, you know, and
well,
I don't know if you guys.
Not.
Yeah, well, here's something too, because with in Utah, and I don't know, maybe it's just the. And I'm in just so everybody knows where I'm at. I'm in Washington County, southern Utah, so it's like the very southern tip. It's St. George, about 5 hours south of the Salt Lake Valley. So it's Washington County School District that I'm in. But what they do here in southern Utah as well is, I remember back to school night when I was in California, was you brought your parents along, you show them what was going on, they got to meet your teacher, you got to go too, and it was like, oh, okay, I'm so excited about school year, blah, 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 and you go off about your merry way. You know, find out where your desk is, or if you're in high school, you just find out where your classes are and whatever. Here, back to school night is without your children. You actually go with in the elementary schools. They, because they have like my daughter's elementary school, and they only have 3 classes for each grade. So all 3 second grade classes, first grade classes, third grade, whatever your kid's in, the teachers get together and they put a presentation for the parents, so the parents are aware when they go to it. And I was really bad; I didn't go this year, so I am neglectful in this regard. But I had other stuff going on, so I couldn't make it. But you sit in a classroom, and they literally take you step by step. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, exactly everything will be happening in their classrooms for that grade level. So you as a parent are 100% aware. And that's why I don't want your kids there, because they want you to be able to pay attention without dealing with your kids. The high school does the same thing. You go to every single one of your, without your kids, you go and you actually go through, like, I don't want to say their normal schedule because they have, like I said, 4 classes each day, but the first day of school, they go to all 8 classes so they can know where their classes are, meet their teachers. They do the same thing to the parents for back-to-school night, that you rotate every time thing goes. So you have to actually have your kid's schedule in hand, and you go to each class for like 10, 15 minutes, and they go over what – yeah, and I love it because besides reading the packets, going there and actually seeing the teacher, seeing the class, you know, quickly seeing up on the smart boards what they're – you know, exactly what's going to happen from point A to point B in the school year – it really makes a difference. And I honestly think parents that don't go to those things, if their schools do have that kind of a setup, I think, you know, it's a really disadvantage because, and I can say it because I didn't go to my daughter's, you know, one this year for elementary school. And I have I have a little bit of an idea from the packet, but overall I don't have a huge idea. You know, like, does she get homework at the beginning of the week in a homework folder and then it gets turned in on Friday like last year? Or is it every day she's going to get homework? Because I didn't go to that, and it wasn't in the packet. And that's a huge – I mean, that's a whole game changer, knowing that setup with her homework schedule.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we had our kids – our two parents go through that, and they'll come for the open house. They meet in the gym. The principal gives, like, an overview, and then they follow their child's schedule and go into each classroom. This year, they did something that – I noticed we had a huge, huge turnout – and all the kids whose parents came, if they came, their kid got a homework pass. And for whatever reason, that homework pass brought out way more. You know, I guess some people try to make their children happy. But they brought out tons and tons of parents, you know, and they would come in and ask, where are the homework passes? You know, we want to make sure they had their homework pass. And that's fine. If that's what brought you in, that's great. But it's, you know, it's a form of bribing the parents in through the children.
Yeah.
It works. You know, I guess I can't. I'm fine with it, but wow, you know,
Yeah, my son.
Wow.
My son. Yeah, I was gonna say my son for one. I think it was one or two of his classes. If we went through the packet that night, the night he brought it home, and he turned it back in the next, you know, wouldn't be the next day, but it'd be like the day after the next day, for the class, depending on what class it was. So it'd either be the next day or the day after. He would get extra credit for us turning the pack in like right away.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's a good incentive at least to get, you know, because I mean, I kid you not, I mean, even though he didn't, because he already knew it was in it, because you know, the teacher went over in class. He sat there when it was those two classes. He didn't want to sit there for the other ones, but when it was those two classes, he sat there waiting, biting at the bit for me to get through them because he wanted that extra credit. I mean, he was actually on me to make sure I did what I needed to do so he could get his extra credit. And I thought that was phenomenal because talk about a way to basically partner a child and their parent together and making sure that they're successful in school. You know, by telling the students, you get extra credit if you can get your parents to follow through on what they need to do. I mean, it totally shows, you know, what their parents go through in trying to get them to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which is
great. I thought that was kind of clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
yeah.
was, yeah.
Because he was sitting there staring at me. What was that?
It's interesting what we resort to, you know, that it ought to be, there's a cartoon running around the internet that you may have seen, and it's got these parents, and they're, like, scolding their child, and it's like 1952, apparently the teacher is called, you know, what in the world did you do in that teacher's classroom, and then it scrolls down, and you're, like, in 2012, and the parents are in the teacher's face saying, what did you do to our child, and it shows how the responsibility has been taken off of the children for their own choices and their own schoolwork. And placed on, you know, the parents are no longer on the side of the teacher. No, it's the teacher, what have you done? Because surely my child wouldn't be making bad grades and wouldn't, you know, he's not responsible for his behaviors, you are. And it's
yeah.
a real cute little cartoon passed around there. So
Well, even, and I like that you mentioned that, Keisha, because even with education, I mean, if you think about it, I know when my mom was growing up, I mean, she was born in the 50s. You know, when I was growing up, being born from the 70s, it was, and I think that was probably about the time, at least I remember seeing the shift happening during the middle 80s. I do distinctly remember seeing this with how my parents were versus some of my friends' parents. But it was the parents always showing up in the school, asking the teachers, you know, well, why is my son always telling me when they come home from school they don't have homework, you know, don't you give homework, you know, in school, da-da-da-da-da, you know, showing up at the PTO meetings, you know, asking school, what are you going to do to make sure our kids are getting a good education? I mean, I remember it being that way, and I know it was like that when my mom was growing up, because I remember talking about it all the time when I was growing up. And I remember seeing this shift in the mid-80s where slowly it started, it was the other way, where the teachers were calling the parents and saying, why aren't you making sure your kid's turning their homework in? I mean, and I was just like, what?
Yeah. And then the parents are totally offended that you would ask such a thing. Or
yeah.
They, and, many of, now, and I'm not speaking about the vast majority, but many of them are very defensive about your call that's really on their child's behalf. They're supposed
yeah.
to write down stuff. Like you said, you wrote down your stuff. We have planners to write down their stuff, all their homework. They're given time to. And when we tell the parents, you know, the way we can keep up with this is they'll write their assignments in class and then you check to make sure they've done them at home. Well, the teachers cannot run around in every single class to every single sixth grader and make sure they wrote down their assignment. And many kids will choose not to, and they'll go home and they'll tell their parents they don't have any homework. And then the parents, you know, we'll tell them that they just didn't write it down and maybe they're playing a game, whatever, but it's almost like they're upset with us. We are supposed to make sure, and there's some kids with ADHD and some things like that where we do have some safeguards in place where we do double check and make sure they did it. But a lot of them just use that and won't do it, and then it's thrown back at the teacher. Why didn't you make sure that at every single, all five classes he went to today, why didn't you follow him around and make sure he wrote down every assignment? Because after all, he's 12 years old, and, you know, it's instead of holding your child accountable, you don't write your assignments. I can't see whether you have homework or not. There's a consequence for that. But no, it's the teacher's fault for not following them around and making sure they did what they were supposed to do. And so the child can use it to play back and forth unless the parent is going to be firm enough to hold the child accountable for not doing something as simple as writing something in the planner.
Yeah. You know,
and then they
I love it.
Emails about what the homework was.
Why don't you email us their homework every night? Really?
And you know, and I love that you bring that up because, and I can talk about two things, you know, at least that we have here in my district in Utah. But what's interesting is when I was in high school, because like I said, I ditched a lot. I was notorious for, you know, the whole, I don't have homework or not showing up to class to even know there was homework. So my mom called the school up. And again, this is not the school calling my mom to say, hey, what's going on with your kid, you know, da-da-da-da-da. She was, you know, she took the proactive, you know, stance, called the school up. And I kid you not, I had to go to every single class with a sheet of paper. And the teacher had to sign off that, one, I showed up in class. And then, two, had to then make a note. I mean, so it was extra work for the teacher, of course, but it was my mom at least being proactive. Then they had to write down what my homework was, and then they initialed to make sure that what I wrote down was correct. So when I got home, and she knew I had this, so I couldn't say, I don't know what happened to it, because she knew that was complete bogus, show it to her. So she knew exactly what was going on. And it was her way, of course, making me be accountable, and, of course, being accountable that, you know, for her kid, and was taking action to make sure that, you know, there was follow-through. And I thought that was great. And here, I mean, now with technology, at least here in the Washington County District of Utah, and I think it's statewide, I can't imagine it wouldn't be, we have PowerSchool, which, of course, is through Pearson Intellectual Properties. They do a lot of the assessment tests and stuff, so I know you guys are pretty much aware of who they are. They have a system called PowerSchool, and we as parents actually have our own passwords. So we can sign into PowerSchool, and it doesn't matter how many kids we have. We can go to each kid, see each class, see what assignments are coming up, because the teachers have to program that into PowerSchool. So we know weeks ahead of time that, like, for example, especially with my son being in high school, I can go into PowerSchool right now, and I can see if he has any type of reports he's going to have to work on come September that are like, don't come tell me like 2 days before you have a report because you knew about this weeks ahead of time kind of thing. And it's great. You know, we can see their grades instantaneously.
We have a similar program. We used to have PowerSchool. We have something different now, but it doesn't put in a whole lot of future stuff. It puts in what they've got, what they've done up to that day, what they're missing up to that day, what their grade was up to that day. So the parent can go in and look and see if there are missing assignments up to this point or what actual grades they've made. Now, a lot of parents will not go online and look at that, and that kind of gets me sometimes too, because you'll get them three-quarters of the way through the school year, and why didn't anybody tell me my child was doing badly? Why didn't anybody tell me? And it's I don't know. You could have looked online. We send home progress reports and report cards. Do we need to call you and say, hey, did you see the report card and how bad it was? Do we really need to call you and ask you that? I mean,
that's what I said. What I love about PowerSchool, I mean, Oz, you know, again, it, you know, the teacher, it is work on the teacher's behalf. But then, you know, what I love about it is, you know, again, it's a you know, a team effort between the parent and the teachers, which it should be when it comes to the kids' education, in my personal opinion. And so, I mean, the teachers do have to be diligent about putting the assignments in and being organized themselves, so it's in there, so we can see as parents ahead of time that these assignments are coming up. So they do need to be, you know, somewhat organized, at least having their months, you know, at least a month of work, you know, pretty much scheduled out and knowing what is going to happen for that upcoming month so we can be on top of it. But PowerSchool also allows us, for the lazy parents that doesn't want to go into PowerSchool all the time and look stuff up, that you can actually set it up, and I have it this way, and it's not because I'm lazy, it's just because I'm so busy I all forget. That's why. But I can put my email address in there, and I can pick whatever email, my work email, my personal email, a special email just for school if I want to set one up, whatever, and it will email me daily or weekly.
That's great.
My kids' grades. It will also show me if they've been late to school. It also shows their attendance, so I can see if they've been late to class, never showed up for class. So I will know instantaneously if my son in high school has ditched.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful to know. We don't have anything like that here.
And
so.
I love it. It's one of the when I was like, man, if my parents had this, I think I would have been an A student because I wouldn't have gotten away with half of what I got away with.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Here in Ontario, they don't have
that restitution.
Like that at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess, you know, that's why I'm saying, depending on what ends up happening, like, you know, since Tennessee is definitely on the front page of this parent report card thing, depending on how they decide to handle it. I mean, I know there's tools kind of like this in place, at least out in my area, So I can see that if this is done right, it can be a very positive thing all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it absolutely can be, because I know that a lot of teachers are maybe not even that organized, you know, to know everything
know.
In advance. You know, it would be just one of those things where I know that I know a few teachers that I think if they had to plan even a couple of weeks ahead, it would be kind of tough. You know, so it's, I think this is a great idea. I wish more people would do it and more school boards would pick up on this, because I think it really covers all the bases, doesn't it, you know, for parents and for teachers. And it makes
I think so. And I know,
yeah.
And I know you're talking about, Irene, with, you know, teachers who are kind of, and I'll use this term, I'm using this term lightly, everybody, but, you know, scatterbrained, disorganized.
Yeah.
but you know what, I look at least the teachers I remember, I can't speak of the teachers here because I haven't lived in this area long enough to say, well, that teacher's been teaching that subject for X amount of years, so what the heck. And I know every year it does change sometimes a little bit, you know, way things are done, but the overall basics and what you're going to be covering in a class doesn't, pretty much. So if you've been a chemistry teacher for like the last 10 years of your career, and you've been, you know, teaching it to the sophomores and juniors of high school, there is no reason or excuse that you can't, you know, have down your kind of lesson plans to unorganized. You know,
of
when
course.
I look at teachers like that, I remember we had a teacher like that that I think taught English for like, I don't know, since the day she was born to like, I don't know, she probably passed away by now. And I would just look at her going, how can you be so scatterbrained? You've been teaching this like forever.
Yeah.
You know, don't you know what you're going to teach us? Because you taught it for like the last who knows how long since dinosaurs walked on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And I know teachers like that too here, sadly. You know, they're just, they're just scattered. They're not organized, sadly. And, you know, how can the students be organized then, you know? And how can the parents know what's going on then? You know, like, it's almost a no-brainer, isn't it? You just have to
do and
it.
I'm not picking on teachers. I'm not. I just see this.
No, I'm not either.
I want our listeners to know. We're not picking on teachers. I'm just saying that this system, I think, really, at least here, you know, in the Washington County, has been a great way for us to partner, for parents to not be scatterbrained, for teachers not to be scatterbrained. I'm not saying there isn't still some disorganization, because you can never get away, you know, get it completely gone. But it definitely, I think, has, I think we see a lot more successful kids anyways because of it.
Absolutely. I would totally agree with that. And you probably will see more and more of that. And hopefully there'll be more of that in other districts, and hopefully it'll come here too. And that'll be something I will be definitely suggesting to the school boards. I think they'll think I'm out of it, but I'm going to definitely suggest it, because I think it's just a perfect tool.
Keisha's so quiet again. I'm not used to being quiet, Keisha.
I'm just listening. You know, I chime in there and I get off on my soapbox, and then I settle down and let someone else talk.
Well, do you have any? Do either one of you guys have some closing comments before our show comes to an end? As they have searched and found me out in the house.
You know,
I'll let you go first.
Just be involved. Just be involved. That, you know, really, as parents, whatever you can do. You know, and you've got limits. I'm sure a lot of people do, but at the bare minimum, read the stuff that comes home. That's my suggestion. Read the stuff that comes home.
Yeah, there's a lot of information in that stuff. And then in school, if your schools put out newsletters, read them. I know ours used to come home. They don't come home anymore. You have to actually go on the website now to download them and read them, which I have to agree, my busy schedule is a pain in the butt. I completely back everybody up who's thinking that and grumbles about it, but it's important, because you never know what's going to be in that dang newsletter that you needed to know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and those are your... You know, and maybe we don't realize all we're getting into when we have kids, but, you know, it's a responsibility, and there's stuff that goes with it, and, you know, you just have to deal with it. You know, if you're going to raise a good kid, and even with the best laid plans and the best parents in the world, some of them go astray. But, you know, you bring a life into the world, and you must take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
And that
I
means
agree.
We come from school.
Irene,
y'all like
any closing
my
remarks?
Comments so far?
Yeah, read what comes home from school. Not just your kids' homework, it's your homework too.
That's right. Well, I think that parenting is probably one of the hardest jobs that there is to do. I think that, you know, parents do deserve a lot of credit for what they have to put up with day to day, but they do have to take responsibility in, you know, helping their kids to become the best they can be. And I think along with their teachers, our teachers and parents can really team up together to, you know, really help the child be the best that he or she can be. And I think, that's where it's all at. It's parenting, and it's not easy, but it's what it is. So.
Yeah. No, I agree, and you know, I agree with both you, Irene and Keisha, on your closing statements. And you know, basically, I'm sure this debate will be going on as other, you know, states start looking at the idea of parent report cards. But like I said, being a kid born and raised in the public school system of California, and you know, for a couple of years in Iowa, to come into Utah and raising my kids here, I can see the advantages as long as it's done right. And that's the thing. I mean, as the lawmakers sit there and debate, you know, how this is going to play out and work and this or whatever, if we don't open up our voice and get involved as parents at that level, then we just have to hold ourselves accountable when we don't like what it turns out, you know, whatever the parent report cards, you know, law becomes, because we should have, you know, been a participant then, you know, to find the advantages and disadvantages. So, I mean, it, you know, exactly what both you guys said. I mean, it really, you want to have good kids, you want to have it a good experience, you want to have that middle ground, then you have to be involved. It's, you know, it's just like if you don't pay your car bill, don't, you know, freak out when they come and, you know, repossess your car. I mean,
right.
What did you expect was going to happen? You know, if you don't pay our mortgage and you wonder why you can't get into your house anymore, well, gee, you know, I mean,
oh, dear.
The same thing with your kid.
Right.
You can't look at your kid and what's happening in school and go, well, why is this happening? If you're not involved and you don't take action and you don't hold yourself accountable or even help with the checks and balances that hold you accountable, then you can't complain about the law,
mm-hmm.
all I could say, or the system that's been put in place. And whatever happens to your kid when you look at them when they're 30 and go, oh, my gosh, I raised that? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, not saying that you're 100%, you know, at fault when they're 30 for who they become, but you are still at least a good portion of that problem. So hopefully you're looking at them and you're proud.
Absolutely.
Anyways, well, we thank everybody for listening. I know we had quite a few guests listening to us tonight. I wish we would have had some of you guys at least weigh in with your thoughts, because I definitely think this is something we're going to start seeing become a big topic in a lot of other places, because I know, you know, especially with reading, there's a huge problem where a lot of kids don't know how to read by the time they graduate. And so I think as that happens more and more, the schools are going to definitely, and government's going to definitely, you know, start putting their hands more into our back pockets to find out what's going on to fix the problem. And if we don't want that, then we have to take action and be accountable and stand up. And that's really going to make the difference, at least here in the U.S. I know Irene's in Canada, it's a little bit different with your governmental system. But, I mean, that's the honest truth. So we hope the rest of you guys have a great rest of the month. I know some of you guys are back to school already. So, again, those of you that are like Keisha and I and you're back to school, read your packets. Go to the open houses as much as you don't want to, and it's a pain in the butt. You might have to leave work early to go. Trust me, all of our stuff was before 6 p.m. So, yes, we had to, if we had full-time jobs, get, you know, the boss to say, yes, you can step out early to do this, but it's important because when the kids see that you do this, they understand that you find it important, so they'll value it and find it important. And that goes for all of you guys that will be starting up after Labor Day. I mean, start talking about back to school now with your kids and the value of school and how exciting it's going to be to find out all the new stuff happening, because I think that's going to make a huge difference in attitude as the school year gets started. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a wonderful evening.
Take care, everyone.
All right, thanks.
Follow me to the world of ink.